Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean.
Thank you, Ben McKay. Welcome to another episode. If this is your first time listening to the show, then welcome. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. Also on TikTok as well, you know, on Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So today I'm back with the boys to talk about the North versus Collingwood game that just happened on Sunday afternoon. We talked about what the hell was going on with Ben McKay. Why did it take so long for Eddie Ford to come into the team? Mid-season draft coming on Wednesday, there was plenty of talk. So, and obviously with the latest news about the First Nations issues with Alistair Clarkson. So we got into that. We didn't know too much because that was breaking news that just happened on the podcast. So yeah, we talked about that a little bit at the start. So let's not waste any more of your valuable time and bring on Frank and Mark right now.
Boys, welcome back to the show tonight. I'm only joined by Mark and Frank. I don't have Jesse, who's gone to Singapore to get away from Daniel Howe, possibly. I'm not too sure. We have a lot to go through, so let's get straight into it. Now, Frank, you've obviously come up with some news on Fox Footy that there's a press conference about the Alistair Clarkson saga at 7:45 p.m. Now, we don't know what it's about or anything about it, but could this be the end?
Well, I'm having a look at Fox Footy just as you're talking to me, Dean. They've just posted 24 seconds ago. The AFL has called a press conference at 7:45 with an update on the Hawthorn investigation. Obviously, Fox Footy will cover it. They're saying they're going to be live at 3:30. 3:37. They'll take it live from 7:30. But obviously nothing kind of other than speculation. But that was literally announced about a minute ago.
No, fair enough. Could this be the end, Mark?
The end of the club, or
yeah.
No, obviously not. No, we've been called cockroaches before that never die. So clearly, wouldn't matter what happens, we'd survive. But I assume that that's in the end of the investigation. I suspect that it'll be a little bit open ended, as in there's been some resolution with. Majority of the families, but I'll be very surprised if all of the families have agreed in terms of the accusers I'm talking about, whether they've agreed to everything. And then, of course, that I don't think the AFL are going to completely clear the coaches. I think they might say they're not going to be sanctioned or something to that effect. Be very interesting to see how it's worded. And then I think post this happening in the next 2 or 3 days, I think we'll find Clarkson and Fagan in particular, and you know, potentially Burt separately, given the way he's gone about it recently. We'll try to clear their names in terms of the way the media have portrayed this. And I think in terms of Clarkson coming back to the club, I think this coming to an end with the AFL is really important. Because I think as soon as he's on the front foot, I think mentally he'll get a lot stronger. And I say that without any knowledge. Obviously, this is just a guess from someone from outside of this. I think he's been desperate to be on the front foot and say his side of the story. And I think Fagan's been similar. I think it's worn him down not being able to do that. So I think once the AFL's finished and he's allowed to say what he wants to say or do what he wants to do in terms of legal terms, I think that'll be a good thing for everyone. But in distance, from a selfish point of view, from the North Melbourne perspective, that we want him back as soon as possible, the old Clarko back, the strong Clarko back, and the one that's focused on footy. I think once he's on the front foot and he feels like he's able to tell his story, I think he'll that'll release him mentally a lot, and I think we'll get him back fairly soon after. That might still be 5 or 6 weeks away, but... the end from the AFL perspective, I think, will be a great thing for the club.
Well, I've just looking at Real Footy. I've just retweeted breaking. The AFL has reached an agreement with families involved in the allegations of historical racism allegations at Hawthorn and has made no findings against Alistair Clarkson, Chris Fagan, and Jason Burt. That's all I know. I haven't read the article, obviously, but
there you go. That's no findings. That doesn't clear them. So on that basis, I think though, certainly Clarko and Fagan, who are in the public eye ongoing, I don't think they've got any choice but to launch their own legal action for defamation. If, as they've said all along, they want to clear their names and say their side of the story, I don't see there's any other way to do it other than either they get apologies from everyone else that has made these accusations, as in the media in particular, that they got it wrong, or they'll have to take it into court and bring the whole thing out. Because at the moment, the way you just described it then is exactly how I thought it would play out, which is the AFL will just sit on the fence and say, everyone's sorry. We've found no guilty. We've found no innocent. It's all open-ended. Then you've got no choice but to keep going. So, you know, I can't speak for the families. I've got no idea what their position will be, but I'll be shocked if Clarkson and Fagan don't pursue this further now. I don't mean against the families, but against the media on a defamation basis, because I don't see any other way for them to clear their name.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to let it slide, to be honest with you. He's clearly not happy with the Hawthorn Football Club about how they've done their investigation as well. So I don't think this is the end, but it's getting closer, obviously, and it might just be refreshing for his mental health as well. That the process is starting to go through and he can concentrate more fully on his footy with a big weight off his shoulders. But, obviously, no more probably tonight and tomorrow as well. So, sounds like good news anyway for Clarkson and his family and, Fagan and Burt as well. There we go. We'll go to the game. Frank, obviously disappointing to lose any game of football, but I felt like there was a lot to like out of the game on Sunday. How did you see it?
Yeah, Dean, I'd have to agree. There was I think we just made there was plenty of good things. We just made too many bad things. Too many silly errors, skill errors again. I mean, we've been over it 1,000 times. We turned over so many gave them so many easy turnovers, inside our defensive 50. I think the effort was there. Contested footy was there. It was great to see some of the young kids really sort of carry a lot of the load. So, look, as you said, not happy to lose, but glad that we were largely very competitive against, the benchmark of the comp at the moment.
Oh, definitely. Mark, turnovers, like Frank said, turnovers are killing us at the moment. I feel like good teams make you pay when you turn the ball over, and that was the main difference, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And realistically, 5 minutes before the game, I thought about the bet that heavy investment I made, and I think it around $11.50 for North to beat Collingwood. And I thought to myself, you greedy fool, why didn't you just bet on at the line with about 60 points? Because that was more likely to be a good result for us. And realistically, for us to about half that and lose by, about 5 or 6 goals was a good result. Yes, we did make mistakes. You're quite right. Turnovers played a big part. I can just say I'm being bombarded with text messages from my North supporters telling me what's happening at AFL 360 in the AFL. Sorry, but you're quite right. The mistakes killed us, but the competitiveness was fantastic. I was frustrated with some of the errors, but at the same time, right from the beginning, I thought, okay, we're having a crack. To be honest, it felt like watching it the first 10 minutes that we didn't really believe we were going to win, that we were sort of trying to hold on. And then I thought we got better after that. It's similar to Sydney in a way, but there were patches that really let us down that, hurt in the end. But overall, I was pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, a lot of people are saying Collingwood, they never got out of second gear. But to me, I felt like we weren't always in top gear as well. Our pressure rating in the last quarter was 197, which is quite high. So it's good to finish off the game well and not get blown away, because it could have been got ugly, being 53 points down at three-quarter time and possibly another 80-point loss, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's always going to be the argument. It's the old half glass. Is a glass half empty, pardon me, or half full? When, you know, did Collingwood take their foot off the gas, or did we sort of, bite down hard and work our way back into it? You know, it's the never-ending argument, but at least we didn't completely fold over and get, absolutely pulverised. So we, as a footy club, can only take what we think we did well out of it. Whether Collingwood think they played bad in the last quarter, well, that's for Collingwood to decide. But I thought we fought it out really hard. It was great to see them at least their way, not back into the game, but not surrender it.
No, 100%. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And outside a couple of bad spells in the game, Mark, I think with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, I think it was 27 points. And then Collingwood kicked four goals in the last 6 minutes of the third quarter, and probably one other bad spell in the first quarter. I mean, outside of that, you're probably, and that's probably 2 5-minute spells. I mean, we're more than held our own against the Premiership favourites.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't want to single out a player, but if put it this way, if Ben McKay had a good game, I find it hard to believe that we'd be that far out of it. I just felt like those were the moments that really hurt us, was those easy marks in our defensive 50. I'm not blaming him entirely, but overall, those easy marks, easy goals, were the and they were happened over short periods. They seem to be the parts of the game that really hurt us in the end. So I don't think we're a million miles away. I think the scoreboard, even at the end, flattered them a little bit. I think it was just short bursts where we got things wrong or just lacked a little bit of confidence. And then, yeah, definitely in our back line, there were times they took easy marks when it was one-on-one. We should have been able to bring the ball to the ground. By the way, I want to go back over the same subject again, but I do find it interesting the AFL have come out and said they've reached a resolution with the families in terms of payouts, but they've had no finding against people that are accused. I just find that incredible contradiction in terms. Either they were guilty or they're not guilty. How is there a payout if you've got no findings against the people that were accused of doing the act? I'm a bit shell-shocked at the moment given the how new that news is. So sorry, I apologise for interrupting you, but yeah, I'm very confused about that. The way that's come out in the media so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it's probably a case that they're always looking for a payout, and I'm happy to take anything in the end. So, I don't know the full facts or any of the details. That'll come out in the next few hours and possibly tomorrow. So, yeah, I know we keep jumping back, but, it's a very interesting story at the moment. It's going to be top news story for the next 24 hours as well. We'll continue anyway. Yeah, talking about the back line, Frank, and like Mark said, one name that keeps coming up everywhere is Ben McKay. He had a poor game. We can't deny that at all. We've seen the footage every year of a couple of his efforts, but the hate he is getting right now is a bit harsh. I mean, you would have thought he had set a bunch of puppies on fire during the game, but I think his head just isn't there. He just wasn't there on Sunday. And do you think this contract thing is affecting his game right now?
It could be, Dean. Look, I certainly saw his early games and thought he doesn't look to be overly committed. But then I thought his game against the Swans was actually okay. And I thought, maybe he's starting to warm to it and stuff. And then obviously didn't have a great game on the weekend. I suspect it would be, and then if you believe what you hear with people, a lot of people sort of speculating early doors that he wanted to go over to Carlton to play with his brother. Well, his brother's in the same boat. Carlton aren't running on top of the ground either. So he might just be in a situation here at the moment where he doesn't want to leave, but he doesn't want to stay. And it's kind of been shown in the way he's playing. He's sort of to the ball, and he's not sitting back. He's just kind of going through the motions. So yeah, it could be could well be having an effect on him.
Yeah, I mean, his concentration was well off on the weekend. There was a time where he just let, at the end of the second quarter, he just let Ash Johnson lead to the forward flank. Didn't put a body on him and just showed him no respect. I don't know where his head was at in that, passage of play. So it's obviously playing on his mind, I think, and he's not fully focused. And he's got to figure out a way. If he hasn't signed or isn't going to sign in the near future, then he's going to have to figure out a way to get the best out of himself because he's not.
The other thing I was going to say is, you know, the speculation was that he wanted, you know, he was going to move for, you know, big money and a big contract. Now, I don't know that he'd be impressing too many clubs out there at the moment with the way he's playing as far as approaching him and saying, I want $800,000 a year.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, Mark, that. I sort of said, I see a positive in this. I think with his indifferent form that no one is going to pay overs for him, Mark. And he might stay now on a three-year deal with, you know, between 1.5 to 1.6 mil. We know the type of player he is, and he isn't anywhere near there. And people do have short memories of that because when he is switched on, he is one of the best intercept defenders in the game, isn't he?
Oh, I think he's a gun player. I think this whole situation is based out of the fact either I think the most likely situation is they're trying to get a deal done and the stress of the negotiation is causing a few issues. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're right in the middle of it at the moment. And it's just enough to throw his head out of the game a little bit. I don't think this is happening because he knows he's leaving. Because if he knew he's leaving, that would free him up and he'd focus on his footy and it'd be fine. I think, as you said, he's doesn't know what's happening yet. Frank said he doesn't know what's happening yet. And that's throwing him out a little bit. He's a gun player. I mean, I've seen some of the bashing he's copped on social media. It's silly. It's very short-lived. He's one of the best intercept defenders in the game when he's confident and going for the ball. And I've seen him beat Tom Hawkins and, you know, any number of big gun forwards over the last few years. He's a great player. There's a reason he's in our leadership group. If he chooses to stay, he'll certainly have my full backing. He'll have the backing of the team. At the moment, it looks like he's disinterested, but I think, and I felt like that on the weekend. I thought he must be leaving. This is ridiculous. He's not putting in anywhere near the effort we expect from him. But I think it's probably more likely that he's torn at the moment, or the negotiations right in the middle of the crux of it. My understanding is that Port Adelaide and Sydney are going very hard for him. So, and I think they'd be ignoring his form at the moment. That they would know what he's capable of. They would know that this is causing confusion, and as it's done with so many other players in the past. So I think you have to sort of almost ignore the ups and downs with his form, because he plays. If you look at the coaches' votes, he's actually right up there with North. So when he's played well, he's played really well. It's just that there's been some horrible games in between that. I know some people think it'd be great if he left. He's a mid-20s leadership group, all Australian quality defender. He's the last person I think we need to be leaving. If he does leave, we'll move on, make the best of it. Absolutely. But yeah, I'd rather he stay, that's for sure.
Oh, couldn't agree more with that. Yeah, look, I mean, we're just speculating here. We don't know what goes on.
We're guessing.
He might have just had an off game. Who knows? Yeah. But which can happen. It happens to the best of them, except for probably Harry Sheasel. But Frank, what did you think of Jack Zeebel? I thought he was good outside of three turnovers, which cost us goals. But there's some people calling for him to get dropped now, which is pretty ridiculous to me.
Look, I think I've always said, Dean, you can't question his attack and commitment to the club, to the ball, the way he represents the team. If you've only just noticed that Jack turns over the football a lot, you've probably haven't been watching North for a long time. It's just part of what he does, unfortunately, is that you're right. On the weekend, I noticed the three horrible mistakes that he made. But you've got to counter that with how many did he prevent with his attack on the ball and his, you know, commitment to the contested footy. He's never going to change, right? A Daniel Wells, type user of the football. You just know that he's trying to play the game plan that he's been asked to. And Luke McDonald suffers from this a few, sometimes as well, that it's a high-risk, high-reward game style. And unfortunately, when Jack misses, in the area that he misses, being deep in defence, it ends up costing us, unfortunately, more often than not, a goal. But you can't overlook what he does as far as defending the contested footy.
Well said.
Yeah, and his leadership is first class as well. He's been a very good leader this year to the younger blokes as well. He's very talkative out there on the football field. You can almost hear him in the second level. So there's value there, which doesn't come across in statistics or anything like that. So, yeah, no, look, he'd probably be top three in our best and fairest, to be honest with you. Mark, Luke McDonald, Griffin Logue, both had 17 intercepts between them and were quite good, weren't they?
I thought that was Griffin Logue's best game for the club. I thought he was easily our best player. I thought his reading of the play, his aggression at the contest, even his magnificent goose step, all of it was good. I thought he was terrific on the weekend. I thought he stood out for us. I know Greenwood was almost only just behind him and Will Phillips, but I thought he was our best player. I think he's really feels confident in his role now. Again, you have to give some kudos to Ratten and what he's done in a few weeks. Just with a couple of players, I think Logue and Scott in particular have just suddenly become very confident in what they're doing and their role. And that's can only be a good thing when Clarkson comes back, that Ratten's having that sort of influence on a few different players and can start to feed that back to Clarkson. Because, I think he has brought the best out of a few guys recently. You could say Phillips, Scott, Logue, and Greenwood have all gone to another level in the last 2 weeks since Rats has taken over. And that sometimes happens. So that's not unusual. That's not a knock on Clarkson. But, I think you're absolutely right. I thought Logue was terrific. So, the defence looks like it's starting to get a bit more synergy, albeit Ben McKay had a bad game. But if he finds form and those guys work together, and I agree with everything was said about Jack Siebel. Yeah, he made some mistakes. He turned the ball over. This is not about what Jack's place in the side this year. It'll all be about whether Jack's the right person to still be there in the side next year. And that won't be, we won't probably come to that decision until the last five or six rounds of the year. And if he's holding his form, then they'll be giving him another year, I would have thought. But yeah, I agree with you. Luke McDonald the week before against Papley was brilliant too, by the way.
Almost forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in very good form. So he's silenced a lot of his critics again. Poor bastard has copped it over the years. He has won the best and fairest in the captain of the side. And Simkin, to be fair, is the same. They both often have unfair critics that are too harsh on them. And they're very good leaders of the club. I thought they were great against Sydney and good again.
Yeah, 100%. We'll go to the midfield then. We might as well segue to that. Frank, and I think we competed quite well. And Will the Thrill Phillips, which Mark mentioned, seems to have found his role in there, doing the dirty work with 29 possessions, including 23 handballs, 5 tackles, 5 clearances, and 48 pressure points. This is a player we were hoping for with pick 3, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course it is. And, I know he's had some critics about his development, but we recruited the kid off almost a zero season in COVID, and then he was cut down with injuries and glandular fever. So, yeah. I guess people have this mentality that every pick 3 is going to be like a Chris Judd and just come into your side and revolutionise the way you play. A lot of them are a slow burn. Ben Cunnington was a slow burn. And I think Will Phillips is starting to develop that side of his game. And with another preseason, I'd only expect him to continue to improve. So, I'm thrilled that he's doing really well. He's had plenty of reasons to maybe, wilt under the criticism that he's received from certain parts of the media and stuff. And he probably didn't go into the season thinking that he wasn't going to play alongside LDU and Taron Thomas. And he's gone in there and he's done a terrific job. So I'm really, really pleased for the kid.
And LDU, by the way, took at least 3 years to get to his level as well. So not everyone's a Jason Horne-Francis or a Sheasel or a Wardlaw. Not everyone can do it within their first 20 games. People take 40-50 games.
I think history will show, Mark, that it's more, probably far more an elevation in output at around 50 games than it is at 5 games.
Absolutely.
Mm. Mark, Hugh Greenwood as well, 25 touches, 11 tackles, 10 clearances. It's hard to imagine this guy couldn't get a game for about 5 weeks with how bad we were.
Yeah, well, that's 100%. I think we've all forgotten how highly regarded he was at the Gold Coast Suns. He was loved there as a competitive beast, a great example to all the other players, a great leader. We all forget he came to us with a bung knee, and he really barely recovered from it, and then played with that bad knee for the whole year. In hindsight, he probably should have missed. You know, maybe he couldn't get it any worse, and he just wanted to help. You know, as soon as he came, but I think he would have been better off missing a big patch of last season and coming back in the second half and doing what he's doing now. Because you look at what he did on the weekend, and I mean, that's a high-quality player. Very different from the guy that was running like he had a stone in his shoe last year for us. The amount of tackles he gets and the amount of defensive work he does when he doesn't have the ball just amplifies how valuable he is when he's getting 25-odd possessions like that. I mean, he was taking marks as well, because you forget how tall he is, and he's got those massively long arms and he's got a big reach. So he's a very unique player, and I'm very pleased that he's got a contract for next year, because I think he's going to be very valuable. He's something different for us, and he protects a lot of the younger kids. You know, and while Cunners is playing in the VFL and helping develop kids there, I think between the two of them, they're playing big roles in our future.
Oh, definitely are. They certainly are. Frank Bailey Scott has hit a real purple patch as well, with 30 touches again, and he's run that games really well. 24 touches in fourth quarters the last 2 weeks. He's found some real good form right now, hasn't he, Frank?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Dean. He's working very hard both ways. And that's, again, another guy, when we were just talking about Will Phillips, another guy that's taken a little bit of time. He's had some down patches and stuff like that, but maybe the responsibility of having to be a bit more of a leader with some of the injuries and whatnot that we've got has really brought out, a different side to him. So, his work ethic and ability to run out games, as you've touched on, has been a real highlight.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully this continues. He's using the ball, I feel, a lot better as well. He was prone to the odd turnover earlier in the year, but, last couple of weeks I think he's been using it a bit better. He's still got the odd turnover, but he's getting a lot of the ball. So you're going to turn it over if you get 30-plus touches a game. Mark, Tom Powell was pushed out of the back line in the second half and spent time as a forward mid. He swapped roles with Harry Sheasel, who went back in the back half, and looked more at home than than the back line. How did you see his game? Because a lot of mixed reports about him on socials and in the media as well. I thought he did some good things, but, he did some really silly things. Decapitated Baylor Scott by giving him a hospital handball where he was only going to get tackled. So, yeah, I mean, how did you see him anyway?
I'm worried about him, not from a talent point of view or, what he brings to the table. I know the South Australian clubs are coming quite hard for him, and I wonder whether he wants to be playing midfield and is getting frustrated that he's being thrown around in almost every other position but the midfield. I think it's affected his confidence, but I still think he's adding value to the side, and I absolutely want him in our best 22. I wonder, and this is part of the problem, when you keep bringing in gun top five ranked players in the draft into the midfield, it gets hard to play them all there and give them all time. And particularly when you've got people like Cam Zerha coming into the midfield at centre bounces as well. So he's sort of played half forward, he's played wing, now he's on the back flank. I think he's a potential star of the competition. So I'm desperately hoping we keep him, but I am getting worried now that he's going to get frustrated. He's not getting midfield time. Again, I don't know what's going on in the club, so I'm just guessing all of that. I know he's very good friends with Will Phillips, obviously. So I hope they keep him there. I don't know what the right position for him is long term. The midfield's getting crammed, and then Taron Thomas comes back, and he's likely to go into the back flank as well. So where does that leave Tom Power? So I haven't really answered your question there because I'm not sure what the answer is, but he's a talent I don't want to lose, that's for sure. But I think there's still some work to do in finding out where he's best going to be positioned to play.
Yeah, apparently I did hear a rumor. This was a couple of weeks ago. That he could be used in a trade for Chase Jones from Adelaide Crows or something like that. So yeah, I think he's a better player than him anyway.
Yeah, that's right. What position does Chase Jones play?
They're still trying to work that out. He's tried on half forward line, half back line as well. So as a rebound defender, so
great result for us.
There might be more to it.
To Port Adelaide if he wants to go back to Adelaide, that would be a fairer swap in my mind.
They might give us Jason or Francis, but
anyway, there's a bit to play out there. But again, it's just hearing it one thing and seeing being true is another. But it just shows that our midfield's getting more and more crowded with quality players, and again, a lot of people calling for us to get the first round pick in this year's draft. But I'm just not sure how many more midfielders we need before we need to add more class to the back line and the forward line. But that's probably a conversation for another day.
Yeah, definitely. Probably more towards the later part of the year. I mean, he is contracted till 2024. So someone will have to come out with a good offer. Frank, we'll go to the forward line. And good to see Nick Larkey take his chances once again and kicking five goals in the second half. Once he gets his confidence up, he seems to be plucking the marks and he's very hard to stop, isn't he?
Which was really strange because he didn't, in the first sort of part of that game, he didn't look like a guy that was going to kick I think three in the last quarter, but he worked his way into the game to the point in that last quarter, he was probably unlucky not to kick four or five. So he worked his way into it, which was great when you think about it, because
he never gives up, does he, Frank?
Correct. Yeah, he didn't give up. He could have easily dropped it's not my night tonight. The delivery at times wasn't great, but, and the other thing too, that I think we do really poorly is I think we're easy to defend against. We're very predictable when we go inside that 50, that more often than not, Nick Larkey. And I thought he worked his way into it and he competed hard. He brought the ball to ground. He didn't get outmarked. As I sometimes think that he can be a little bit, I wouldn't say unaggressive, but sometimes surrenders that sort of marking contest a little bit too easily. But I thought he worked hard, worked his way into it, and a great credit to him that against the tide, he was able to kick five.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose the other tall forward, Mark, CCJ, he struggled a little bit, and it's a probably good lesson for him. I mean, he's still only about 15, 16 games into his career. I'm not even too sure. Oh, maybe in the 20s now. It's a good lesson for him playing against Darcy Moore. He just kept getting, and even Murphy, who's not a bad defender, he just kept getting nudged under the ball, and he's got to find a way to be a bit stronger in the contest, doesn't he?
Yeah, he did a lot of that early. I was watching the game, and I was getting frustrated with him wanting more from him. But I wonder if he was used as a bit of a decoy to try and keep Moore away from the play, because Moore's had much better games than that this year. Especially early on when he was getting pushed under the ball. I agree with that. But I didn't think Moore started well, but I don't think he had a massive game compared to what he's done this year. So I wonder if Colin Jones was asked to play a bit more of a defensive role, which would have been something new for him. And it started to pay off sort of towards the back end of the game a little bit when Larkey got free. So yeah, there might be more to the game that he played than we saw. I mean, to be honest, looking at it, it felt like he had a horrible game. But upon reflection, I wonder if, he was playing, his job was to try and keep Moore quiet as much as possible too.
Well, and the other thing too, Mark, is he could have taken 8 marks. He took 2, yeah. But he
got
to...
It was a nearly game, wasn't it, Frank?
It was just a nearly game in that he almost did this and he almost did that, but he just couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a belief thing. And perhaps if he was going to the game with a negative mindset, as in my job's to sort of try and keep more quiet, perhaps he was just wasn't clear thinking as he could have been, and as he was the week before, and he was clunking those ones. So you wouldn't give up on him based on that at all.
No.
Frank, one player I want to talk about with you is Cameron Zerha. Now, he's pretty much gone out of the midfield now. He only had 2 centre bounce attendances on the weekend. To me, he can only play forward because I don't think he's fit enough to go through the midfield. He can only do really short spells, but he's got to make a decision at the end of the year whether he wants more midfield minutes or he wants to just stay as a forward, because if he wants more midfield minutes and he wants to be a Jordan Dugowie type of player who's playing predominantly as a midfielder now, then he's got to get a lot fitter, doesn't he?
Oh, I think so. And look, we touched on it before, you know, with the likely midfield that hopefully at some point we can rotate through the middle there in the second half of the year. And then let's face it, we're going to get another early pick in the draft. I don't know that Cam's midfield time's going to even be required. So you're right. Either he puts his hand up and says he wants to become like a Jordan Dugowie and play through the middle a lot more, or he focuses on his forward craft. But I think they were using him as, you know, a little bit of a bigger body and a bit of backup for the younger kids in there for a while. But I don't know that we're going to require that for much longer.
I think, Frank, regardless whether he plays midfield minutes or not, he's going to have to get his whether it's fitness or mental stuff, I don't know, but he's going to have to get to a point where both the supporters and his teammates know what they're going to get from him for every time he plays. At the moment, I have no idea what type of game he's going to play from week to week. He can go berserk and dominate for a half or a quarter or whatever else, and he's dynamic and he's got enormously talented, powerful and tough. But I don't know what I'm going to get from week to week. I look at Eddie Ford, who's come into the side as a mid-sized forward, moved him onto the wing, and he just runs his guts out every week because he's got himself so fit, he's now able to play that role. If Cam Zerha had the same mental attitude as that, and I don't mean toughness because clearly the guy's super tough, but I just you have to question how dedicated he is, because we've been talking about this for 4 or 5 years, but and when's he going to turn the corner and suddenly become? Because I imagine his contract and everything else is based on what's going to happen, not what's happening now. I think his best year is about 30 goals, but his highlight reel's unbelievable, and he's win a game off his own boot. It's just that you don't know when it's going to happen, and sometimes he chases hard, runs down tackles. It's amazing. The other time he just jogs after people, doesn't show any interest. The week after he got criticised by David King, he was running down everyone. But then a week later, back to normal.
Yeah.
So I just think with him, he's loved by a lot of supporters. Everyone knows what he's capable of. But he's going to have to start doing it from week to week, sooner or later. I think his teammates need to know what they're going to get. Otherwise, at some point, they're going to go, we'd rather have an Eddie Ford type play at forward line, or it might be Braden George next year.
Yep.
Who gives everything every week, and we know exactly what they're going to do, rather than have someone who might win us the game, but he might do nothing in 3 weeks. He's up. He's mid-20s now. He's going to have to make his decision, and I think it's going to have to come in this off-season. Forget midfield minutes. He needs to dedicate himself to being consistent one way or another.
Yeah.
Which might sound harsh because he's an important player culturally for the club as well. But, yeah, I think for his own sake, his career will pass him by before he knows it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point there, Mark. I mean, there's no doubt he's got a lot of talent, but it's more whether he can bring that effort week to week. You know, you've seen that first game Reece Shaw had in charge against Richmond. Oh, this is going back a number of years, and he had about 9 tackles for the game. Just bulldozed through all the Richmond defenders, and he's shown glimpses of that as well. But it just hasn't been on a consistent level. I'm not saying he goes permanently into the midfield, but like earlier in this year, where he had 7 or 8 centre bounce attendances, now he's gotten 2, and he's lucky to do that at the moment because I don't know if it's a fitness thing. He doesn't look. Like you said, he can do one effort. Whether he can do another 30-meter sprint, it's another question. So, it's going to be interesting to see how he goes the rest of the year and what his goal is for preseason. Whether the club has a bigger goal for him as well, or whether they're just happy with him as that third forward. So, it's going to be interesting. Frank. Eddie Ford playing between half forward and wing, another player that, it's surprising that it's taken him so long to get a game as well.
Yes, Dean. I loved what he did. I thought he was super busy and it was great to see. Again, we were talking about there with Cam Zerha, and we've seen Ben Cunnington now stuck in the twos. I think it's just one of those things where the more depth we bring in and the more Eddie Fords that we see and the Will Phillips come in, you hope that it sends a message to the players that may have, and I'm not saying Cam Zerha is one of them, but may have thought in the back of their minds, I'm an instant pick in the first 18 every week, that seeing guys like Eddie Ford come through, giving an opportunity and really performing, hopefully sends a message to these guys that, look, if I don't sort of lift my work rate or don't continue to try and better myself, there's a bunch of young kids in the twos that are going to get an opportunity and that'll be it.
I couldn't agree more. Mark, it's fair to say we don't have a small forward on the list right now. Well, not one that is consistently doing a job. I felt for Spicer getting a fair bit of social media hate after only 2 touches. But we've tried Kane Turner, Spicer, Marnie, Drury, and between them, they've kicked 1 goal and 4 goal assists for the year. We've improved our tackles inside 50 the last couple of weeks, which has been pleasing, and gone up to 16th on the ladder in that category. But it has to be a priority for next season to find a small forward, whether in the draft or trade period.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's seen me bang on in the last 6 months about the fact that I think we've got a great basis for a premiership midfield at the moment, but we have to improve things at either end of the ground. We haven't got much depth in terms of key position players, both defenders and forwards, and we've got literally nothing in terms of small forwards. You know, if we have, I mean, when's the last time since Boomer, has anyone look like they're going to kick 3 or 4 goals as a small forward for us? I can't think of it in the last 15 years. So,
Lindsay Thomas.
Oh, sorry, Lindsay. Yeah. But I mean, that's right. Since Lindsay, there's been no one. We've got a lot of mid-size forwards now who are definitely capable of kicking 3 or 4 goals, but not a small, fast, defensive pressure forward who's got some X factor. It's driving me mad. We just do not find them. So I think they absolutely have got to find that. I think seriously, we've got some quality players in the midfield, like a group of about 8 or 9, including the wingers, and Bailey. I include Bailey Scott in that, and Eddie Ford now has come on as a good wingman as well, and they've got Curtis Taylor who's now out of the side, and that's a good example of someone who might have felt like they had their spot secured and have now lost it to Eddie Ford. He might struggle to get it back for a while, which is great for depth. I agree with that, Frank. I was praying that Phoenix Spicer would be the answer, and I haven't given up on him yet. He's got the rest of this year to pull it out of his hat, but he's got a lot of work to do to stay on the list, and Jack Marnie's probably in the same boat. Kane Turner's in the same boat, so... Yeah, I mean, I think we'd all love a really gun, a Papley type, Cozzy Pickett type small forward. Most of the premiership sides have had that type of player, and I think we have to find one.
Mark, what I would add just quickly to that is, though, I completely agree with what the club's done by giving Phoenix Spicer a block of games. Absolutely. No matter how poor the reward has been back. I think we needed to give him six or so games in a row to see whether he warmed into the position. It doesn't look like he has at this stage, but we need to find out whether he can play that role.
I would be quite right. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another burst later in the year of three or four, just to give him if he finds a lot of form in the VFL. I think he'll go out at the moment. He might get another chance, just because he's got the speed and the talent. But he's not doing enough at the moment. I have to concede that, as disappointed as I am.
Yep.
I mean, Charlie Lazaro is another one. He's probably lucky that he's contracted for next year. For whatever reason, some players just struggle with their confidence at that level, and at the moment, he's another one who's finding it really difficult. I'd love to see him do well, so I hope he turns it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with Charlie Lazaro, he's been playing midfield in the reserves, and he didn't attend one centre bounce. He's playing half forward, a little bit of wing. It's basically, he's been asked to do a role that he hasn't been doing in the reserves. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think it makes it really tough for him in that regard. Look, he wasn't great. He only had five touches. But, if you're going to play him, then give him that chance in the midfield. You know, at least give him five or six centre bounce attendances. But we just didn't do it. So
He looks lost coming from the VFL as a midfielder into the AFL as a bits player, just filling whatever role. I think that's right. I think it's not helping him at all. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. But he's a player that's probably, like you said, he's probably lucky that he is contracted for next year, because we've got a plethora of midfielders coming through. And if somehow we landed pick one and we got Harley Reid, then there's no point keeping him on the list, or even maybe even a Tom Powell, because you're going to have too many midfielders of high quality. So, we'll see how we go. Now, we do have a draft, mid-season draft tomorrow, and we haven't been linked to any small forwards. Frank, we've got selection two. Jack Marnie has been placed on the long-term injury list, so we are going to make a pick. We've been linked to three players. Ryan Marich, 193-centimetre forward for Box Hill Hawks. Looks like West Coast are going to pick him up. Clay Tucker, 204-centimetre ruck forward for the Eastern Rangers. And James Trezise, an intercepting defender for Richmond. No talk of Sam Lawson at all. I don't know anything about these players, to be honest with you, but is there a direction we should go, whether a forward or another ruck prospect, Frank?
Look, for me, not the ruck. I don't think that's a priority at the moment. If it's going to be a Hail Mary, then I would attack a need of ours, and whether we gamble on a mature age guy out of the Waffle or the Sandful as a centre-half back, a bit like we did with Callum Dawson, but maybe get a completely different result. I'm all for that. I think as far as the best available under our noses, I think Sam Lawson is as good as anyone that's running around in the VFL at the moment. But he probably holds about four or five other guys that we've got. So it's a matter of, do we go for the best available talent or the best fit for what we need?
Yeah, what about you, Mark? I don't mind that. Like, it's probably that time of year. You just take a, just go for a lottery pick and see what you can find, I guess. That's how I'd approach it, because we haven't had much luck with this sort of mid-season draft, and there hasn't been any diamonds in the rough, really. So maybe that there's a guy in Perth, I think his name's Butler, a big key position forward. Maybe you just take a punt on him, see how he goes. What's your thinking on it anyway?
Well, I agree with that. I'd be happy with that. I mean, in my view, is the best key position player in Australia that's outside of the AFL right now, 25 or under, or the best if there's a gun X factor small forward, and I haven't heard there is, so it seems unlikely. I'd love that as well. I don't think it's hard to find a ruckman, you know, whether it's a mature age ruckman or whatever. Clubs just never find it difficult to find ruckman, because you can't play that many in a side. So there's a lot of frustrated ruckman playing in the second for a lot of AFL sides. You can always pick them up. We've got the second pick in the mid-season draft. Surely there's a young kid who missed the draft last year, who's a bit immature, who's come on in leaps and bounds during this season and looks like a great pickup now, or a mature age player that fills a big need for us. After you know, we got Jacob Edwards last, and it hasn't really worked out to this point anyway. In the ruck and ruckman, it's so hard to predict a 19-year-old ruckman what they're going to be like when they're 24 because they take so much longer to mature, the majority of them. So I would rather we didn't go another ruckman. I'd rather and look, if Lawson was played any other position than the one we've got so many other players are capable of playing, I'd be backing that up for sure. But I think the best the 188 centimetre, is it Marek that they're talking about? Is that the right
193 centimetre, yeah.
I think it's the defender. Sorry, this
James Trusize, or
yeah, the defender. To me, that feels like a replacement for Jack Zeeble, I should say. Long term, they're looking at someone about that side who's an intercept defender in the back line. That's the role Jack's playing. So, if they're thinking Jack might not go on, is talking about not going on next year, or you know. They're not sure themselves. That would be the reason to pick up someone like that. But that's a like for like type size player. So if he's got the ability to be a long term player in that position, yeah, that'd be a good pickup.
Yeah, I'm not going to put too much pressure or onus on this pick or anything like that. If you get something out of it, it's a big bonus.
Mid season draft has been an absolute unmitigated disaster for us. Compared to Collingwood, it's got Noble and that gun forward they've got.
Johnson.
Yeah, that they picked out of South Australia. And Jai Newcomb at Hawthorn. We have not done well. We've got Brady. I think we've got Ham. We've got Jacob. And we've got, you know, Callum Dawson, I still think, might turn out to be a player. I think he just hasn't had a chance this year. I hope he still works out. But, yeah, it hasn't been great for us, let's face it, the last 3 years.
No, definitely not. I think we've got Lockie Hosey as well.
Oh, yeah.
We'll link to. I remember that one, the Lockie Hosey one. We were supposed to get Jake Riccardi, the GWS forward, and for some reason we passed on him. So just sums it up. Anyways, we'll move forward to selection this week and the VFL last week. We had an impressive win against the Pies. Frank's boy Kane Turner kicked 4 goals. Karen Thomas, after a quiet first half, finished the game with 18 touches and 6 tackles. Darcy Tucker had 31 touches. And you got LDU, looks like he's going to come back this week. They are probably the four that will come into calculations with maybe Aiden Court. I wouldn't think so. Is it time to unleash Taren this week, Frank?
Look, again, we said it last week. On talent, absolutely. Whether he's ticked the boxes behind the scenes, we'll leave that up to others. But, yeah, if he's certainly not being held out of the senior side because of ability or talent or form. So we know that. LDU, I read the injury report not long ago. They're hoping he resumes full training next week. They've said he may return the following week. I watched the Twos game. Darcy Tucker played very well. Was very, very busy. I suspect he may come in. Interesting to see what happens with Drury. Not, you know, the was held over from both VFL and AFL. He's probably, you know, like for like would be the better switch for Phoenix. Dropped. Aiden Corr, I don't know. I guess it'll be matchups. Corr, he didn't play super well. He was good, but I didn't see him, you know, knocking down the door. But as we touched on before, the people currently in that role, or one person in particular, isn't exactly setting the world on fire. Probably Darcy Tucker and maybe Taren Thomas would be the two that would come in for maybe Phoenix Spicer and look, Bergman. I think I'd persist with Bergman, Aaron Hall.
It'd be Charlie.
It would be
Charlie.
No, Lazaro. Yeah.
Oh yes, correct. Yes, you're right, Mark. It'd probably be Charlie if we go on output. So yeah, they would be the two that I think would be a chance.
What about you, Mark? Any players you'd like to see come in?
Oh, no, I agree, Frank. Taren Thomas has got to come in. I think if he's doing all the right things, unless they're critical of that, he's got to play now. I think, one, it'd be good for him I think to there's no, I don't see any reason to keep holding him out any longer, unless he's not meeting whatever guidelines they've set. And it sounds like he is. He's he posted a picture of himself in his number 26 this in the last 24 hours. So I get the feeling he knows he's playing this week. So hopefully that's correct. And I thought Tucker will add run and experience into the side. I think that would be a good fit. The Shields is available, so he'll go closer.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Won't be far away. But I think Tucker and Tarryn Thomas would be ideal against Essendon.
And the other one, Mark, that I think may get a surprise, not this week, but isn't too far away, is young Cooper Harvey.
Oh, I'm dying to watch him play his first game. I got the feeling from the comments Ratton made a week ago is that there might be some defensive parts of his game they're getting him to work on, which is probably why he didn't get any goals this week.
Well, if he doesn't his old man wasn't renowned as a fierce tackler either. So
he's probably got Boomer telling him to ignore that. You're a Rolls Royce son. You don't.
Correct. Correct, mate. Let the others do that. We just kick goals.
Yeah, that's right. So, but they might not accept that these days. So, I think that's the only thing holding him back. I think it's only a matter of time. And I might have been you, Dino, that made a comment in on Twitter during on the weekend about the fact he's all class or something about similar to that. So, I think he's not far off. I think he's going to be a very good AFL player. It is exciting to think that. Because I wasn't that super excited with him at the time we drafted him because he didn't have a great final year at underage level. But, we're seeing some things now that sort of say, wow, he really could be something special.
The only thing I tweeted was Daniel Howe. We can question his selection, but can't question his work rate. And, geez, people jumped on me after that. So.
Well, I supported you. I regretted that quickly. Geez.
look, at the end of the day, Look, I can't be critical of someone that tries his heart out. I think he ran the second most K's in the game. He does some turnovers which are quite glaring and just not having any peripheral vision where he got run down. But, look, he seems like a nice bloke anyway. So what can you do? Frank? Boy. Yeah, that's it. Frank, anything else from you before I let you go?
No, not really. Hopefully the boys can continue the pattern going into this week's game. They seem to have, fallen into a good little form.
Stuff that, Frank. We're playing Essendon. We have to win. We can't lose to them again.
Yeah, no. I want to win. I'm thinking if they bring the level of effort that they brought on Sunday, I think we're a good chance to cause an upset. We just... mindful that sometimes our form has drifted badly and we just haven't turned up. But I think on the last 2 weeks, if they bring that effort, we'll be right in this one on Sunday.
Great.
Yeah, what about you, Mark? Anything else before I let you go besides wanting to beat Essendon?
No, that's it. I'm sick of losing to Essendon. I think it's time to shut borders and have a good win this week. I think we're a big chance. I really do.
Yeah, it's hard when you're losing. I mean, losing becomes a habit, just like winning does. So it is hard to break that cycle. And we've been losing for about 3 years. So, yeah, hopefully, if we can bring the effort and we can, be in at a half time, we can get a bit of belief and give ourselves a real chance like we did against the Swans. And hopefully we don't have Lee Fisher as an umpire. That would be a big bonus. And Elaney as well.
Thank you, Dean.
Yeah. Yes, my wife told me I'm not allowed to bet anymore. So I need to get I need us to win this week. It might be my last bet for a while. We need to
get Yeah, no, that's fair enough. No, you'd be losing too much, eh?
Yes, I have.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, boys.
Mark, always a pleasure.
Good on you guys. Have a great week.
So thank you very much to those boys for coming on the show once again. And once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform you use as well, that would be awesome. I'll be back on Thursday evening with... the girls, I should have them back on Thursday to talk about team selection. Obviously, there'll be more developments with the Alistair Clarkson news and any other news coming up as well. So that's it for today's show. So in saying that, I will leave a shout out to Daniel at Bookshop Addict on Twitter. Until Thursday, bye for now and go Roos.